All right, Sean, Laurel, ready to podcast?
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's talk about the end of the legislative session.
Oh, geez.
Hey, come on, man.
This is uncalled
for. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Anytime anything ends, this song starts playing.
All right, well, maybe we can reset here.
Yeah, we'll just try again.
Try again?
Yeah. Let's talk about lawmakers finishing up their business for 2018.
Come on, she said finish.
Yeah, nothing I can do, man. It's the song.
All right. Let me try again. The legislature, it's not scheduled to meet from April through December, but it met in March, and it passed many things. But Song knows.
Okay. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
Let's talk about the end of the legislative session.
And don't ask why. It's not a question, but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
And in case you have not been to a middle school graduation, wedding, or funeral since 1997 and don't recognize the iconic voice of the Bard of American Letters, Billy Joe Armstrong, and his group Green Day with their song, Good Riddance, parentheses, Time of Your Life, it's the quintessential ending song for every event. Also, apparently the unwanted theme song to this episode about the end of the state legislative session.
We can't control the song. It's not us. We have no
it's
say
beyond
in this
our
matter.
Mere powers as politics podcasters to keep it at bay.
So I kind of know this song from in my head. This is in every VH1 special at some point when they look back at kind of a solemn period in the artist's life. They play this song in the background. Mm-hmm. But I was just doing a little research on this on teamrock.com, mm-hmm. which is where I get all my news.
All your music news.
Yeah. In Good Riddance not only soundtracked the death of a cancer patient in ER, but it also appeared on a series highlights episode of Seinfeld when it ended in 1998. It was also played over montages during the PGA Golf Tour and the World Cup that year and continues to be played over Wisconsin politics podcasts in the year 2018, its staying
timeless.
Power is without peer. Right.
Anyway, so the end of the legislative session.
I think we have to, for people who haven't been following the ins and outs of the legislative session, I think we have to step back a little bit to where we thought things might be concluding. it was back in February, right, that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said, we are going to finish up our business for the year.
Yeah. He said, this is the end. It was February. Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
Cool it, Billy Joel.
My nerves are shot, man. I'm worried that song is going to pop up
any moment. Yeah, right?
And I'm a little bit on edge.
We're on the edges of our seats here in the podcast studio. But yeah, no, it was February 21st when the Assembly held what was expected to be its last session day of 2018. And that's something that the Assembly Speaker was pretty, what's the right word for that? Like
adamant.
Mm-hmm. Firm. Yeah. He was standing
resolute.
Because in the legislature, there's a benefit to saying you're done because it means whatever you did has got to be the final thing if you're really, really done. Then the other house can't make changes to what you passed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a take it or leave it thing, guys.
Oh, you mean like we talked about on that podcast that one time?
Yeah. Like, shame on me for referencing a past podcast so soon. But go on, Laurel.
Yeah, so do we want to talk about briefly the things that they did on that last day?
Yeah.
Or what we thought was the last day?
Yeah, talk briefly about their take it or leave it positions on some of those bills when the Assembly wrapped up in February.
Okay, so we're going to roar through these kind of quickly because
I'm sure
you all are very up to speed on all this. We've talked about it before. So one of those things was the juvenile justice bill that reorganizes the state's juvenile justice system and closes Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake by 2021. Another thing that they did that day was the sales tax holiday and child tax credit proposals from the governor. They also passed Wow, this seems like so long ago. They passed the marketing campaign from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to market to quote-unquote Midwest millennials to get more millennials to move to Wisconsin from places like Illinois and Minnesota. They passed $50 million for a rural economic development fund, and they passed the Foxconn-style tax credits for Kimberly-Clark.
And that was going to be it. That was that was the end of the legislative session. It's just, I feel like it's been there my whole life now. Okay, so the assembly was done and puts all this stuff in the Senate's lap, and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald is pretty adamant. He's saying, we're not just going to pass everything you did without making changes. It's our duty as elected senators.
We're co-equal branches of government.
Yeah. And I mean, seriously, like for the Senate or the Assembly to get totally pushed around by the other house, it's not just, you know, we talk about this like it's Voss versus Fitzgerald and they're always fighting about stuff, but really they're representing their members. They're representing institutions. There's institutional pride there. And all those people are sent there to, you know, to do a job, and they probably have some feelings on the matter, too.
Mm-hmm. And the Senate had specific changes that they wanted to make to some of those bills that the Assembly passed in February. So the Senate Republicans in particular had concerns about the sales tax holiday.
They did. That was the one where I was kind of thinking, hey, they're not going to come together on this.
Probably not going to happen. And what they ended up doing was just making the sales tax holiday smaller. So it applies to
school supplies, computers, computer supplies, and has a different price limitations in terms of mm-hmm. how much you can get a sales tax break on purchases of clothing, for example. It's much more limited. Brought the price tag, Fitzgerald said, down from about $50 million to $12 million mm-hmm. for state government. And that was something that got his members won over.
Right. And then they also wanted to pass some changes to, or, you know, advance some changes to the Lincoln Hills Juvenile Justice Bill, which is something that Senator Fitzgerald sort of famously called a big lift
in
getting that through the Senate.
Yeah.
So what were the changes that the Senate ended up tacking onto Lincoln Hills?
Well, it was looking like they were going to make very big changes.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what the Assembly bill did was it closed Lincoln Hills and it created a number of smaller county-run institutions to replace it. These would be regional institutions for less violent offenders, so they would be closer to their home communities. And it also would create an unspecified number of smaller state-run institutions to take the more violent offenders at Lincoln Hills. And in doing so, it set aside money for the state-run institutions and the county-run institutions.
And it would convert Lincoln Hills into an adult facility.
And what the Senate did was it said, we're not going to create these smaller institutions, and we're not going to. So what the Senate initially sounded like it was going to do was not create these smaller institutions to replace Lincoln Hills and not set aside this funding to build them. And that's a pretty big change. That's a pretty big departure from the Assembly.
Basically, what the bill, that Senate bill, was going to do was just close Lincoln Hills, right?
Right.
And not create the facilities to replace.
Not immediately, no.
Lincoln Hills right away.
So that was viewed at the time like, wow, the Senate is going to kill this bill. What they ended up doing is they basically took the Assembly bill, which had all this stuff, and said, all right, this has to go, these plans for these new institutions have to be run by the legislature's budget committee first. So
the Joint Committee on Finance.
Right. And also there's this new commission that this bill is creating. I think it's up to 25 people now, stakeholders and experts in juvenile corrections who are going to set the basically lay out the template for what juvenile corrections in Wisconsin should look like over the next however many years. And some of the appointments on that commission were to be made in the original bill by the Senate president. And Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald got those made. He's going to make those appointments instead.
Mm.
You know, so the most powerful in practice person in the Senate is going to get to make those appointments, not the Senate president, who is more, you know, just kind of presides over the chamber.
That's
during debate.
That's an interesting choice, though. I mean, does the Senate president have other duties like that?
I don't know. Yeah, it was interesting that they wouldn't put the majority leader in there to begin with.
Because normally the majority leader makes appointments. So
was that an oversight or was that deliberate? You know, I don't know. Fitzgerald didn't like it and he got it changed. And that was enough for him. They were pretty, you know, I think pretty minor changes to this assembly bill on the grand scheme. But it was enough to say everybody got a little something and they came together on that one. So that was those were kind of the biggies that we knew of at the time, right?
Yeah.
And then there was also, though, the governor's special session that he called, which changed everything. And then it seemed like they weren't going to pass the same bills on that either, because the governor said, I'm going to come out with this special session, or he did come out with this special session. And it included a $100 million grant program for school safety improvements. And the assembly, Speaker Robin Voss was like, yeah, we're going to pass this in a one-day special session. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said, we will pass something substantially similar in regular session. So they're raising the prospect again that they're going to pass different stuff.
Which is a big problem, because if they pass different stuff, it doesn't go anywhere.
John just wants to hear Green Day again. I can tell. He's like, guys, get through this garbage, would you please?
Come on, dude.
So here's what I want to pitch to you, that this is kind of an interesting little dispute here.
Mm-hmm.
They have drawn this line in the sand, Fitzgerald and Voss, and like I don't know how they're gonna come to terms. Voss is saying we're gonna pass this gun bill or the safety bill, not a gun bill, the school safety bill in special session. Fitzgerald's saying regular session, and we're gonna change it. How do you back off from that? Voss is saying we have to have the sales tax holiday. Fitzgerald's saying, no, we don't. I mean, how did they ultimately come around on all this stuff?
Well, the big sticking point was, the Senate wanted to make these changes and the assembly wasn't going to come back in.
And
so,
and Speaker Voss had said, we've held our last regular session day of the year.
So it sounds like to me, Sean, they would have to take pretty extraordinary steps.
It's the only way to solve this problem is with some extraordinary measures.
Like an extraordinary session? A thing that I didn't even know existed.
I think that literally helped get this through.
Wait, is that like one step above special session?
It's
like
not
we don't need a special session. We need an extraordinary session.
It sounds like it's more special, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But it is a technical term. And in Wisconsin, the governor calls a special session of the legislature. But the legislative leaders can call an extraordinary session. Wasn't on the calendar when they started the year, but they can call that extraordinary session and bring the legislature back to debate an agreed upon list of bills. And so that's kind of how they got around this thing. The assembly came back to pass the Senate changes, but not in regular session. Okay, it was extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Fitzgerald, in return, kind of took a lot of the, especially on Lincoln Hills, basically agreed to the assembly bill, agreed to the sales tax holiday, which he didn't really want, although he scaled it back. And they found peace together. They found peace and harmony. Hold on, Green Day. Because these have to go back to the assembly.
We gotta actually talk
how
about
how does that
the
song not know the
session.
Legislative process? You have to concur in these things.
Yeah. So like the actual coming back for the extraordinary session, being on the floor for the extraordinary session, is what happened on Thursday of this week. And it was a pretty interesting day because we knew from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss that he agreed, that Assembly lawmakers agreed with the Senate's changes to Lincoln Hills and to the tax proposals. He had told reporters that before everybody came back, you know, actually onto the Assembly floor on Thursday. So those were pretty safe. We knew that those were going to head to the governor's desk and it was going to be the, I guess, proverbial, like, end of the road for them or whatever. They're going off into the sunset to be laws.
You said going off into the sunset, so I mean that really.
I said end of the road.
The song
choice. I was like crying a little bit there. I was like, I haven't cued the song. I'm a little jealous. I want to cue it. But the one thing that we didn't really know about for sure going into this extraordinary session day was the fate of the school safety package, because there had been talk for a while. Senator Fitzgerald said, you know, we're going to pass something similar. And that's what they ended up doing. They passed a bill, one bill, that had a conglomeration of the six special session bills that the governor had proposed and the assembly said that they supported. But, you know, there were some omissions from those six bills. It was just a little bit, not like substantially different, but it was different. So no, we didn't know if the assembly was going to take up that kind of Senate Frankenstein bill or if they were going to take up the governor's proposals that they said that they supported in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So it didn't end yet. Song, you were out of order.
It could have been the end.
So what did they do?
It could have been the end.
Laurel White, you were in the assembly chamber when this drama unfolded.
I was there.
Will the school safety bill be concurred in or will it not?
So it was really like, it was so interesting because we had the press conference before session, like we always do, with Assembly Speaker Voss, and he had the whole Republican caucus there. So it was like 60-some people jammed into this room. We had to scoot our chairs back.
Wait, into that same room with the fireplace and stuff?
Yeah, in the assembly parlor. Yeah,
they had to say that's an ugly fireplace, by the way.
Whoa, dude.
Oh, that's harsh.
Yo, john.wilson@wpr.org. We did not say that.
Man,
we love that fireplace.
I'm sorry. Whenever you guys take pictures of people speaking in front of it and I try to color correct things,
oh, that's because of the window.
Well, sure, but also
there's
like that god awful like marble. It's like jaundiced.
Wow.
It's jaundiced marble.
You mean the most beautiful marble in all the world because it's in the Wisconsin state capitol?
Yeah, that.
So anyway.
I totally suck up to my Wisconsin audience.
We were in that room with that marble, and they started talking about the school safety bills, and I feel like there was this ambiguity at the beginning of the press conference. Like, you couldn't really tell if they were talking about the separate bills that we knew that they supported or if they were talking about the Senate bill. So we get through this press conference and like one of the first questions from reporters was, so are you going to take up the Senate bill? Like, which one are you going to pass? And Assembly Speaker Voss said, like, yes, we are going to take up the Senate bill. So then that was kind of the sign that these things, including the $100 million grant program and new requirements for school safety plans and stuff, were going to go to the governor. But there was kind of an additional twist that the speaker added. He said, yeah, we're going to take up that, but there's going to be some excitement on the floor today. We're going to introduce some other stuff related to gun laws. And we were like, what are you going to do? And he was like, well, you're just going to have to wait and see. And I feel like that never happens. Like, that's been one of, at least for me, one of the first times that the assembly speaker in that press conference where they normally outline, like, this is exactly what we're going to do today as a preview, where he says, like, just wait and see. It was very kind of like a palace intrigue.
You're like, oh, yeah, this will get me through the session then. Yeah.
Right. I was like, I was going to get another coffee, but now it's just the adrenaline.
That was for the end of the press conference.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, Song.
So do you want to know about what the special little twist exciting thing was that the assembly added to the school safety package?
Yes.
Meh, not really.
Yes, we do.
So it was a complicated, it took us a while to understand. With the assembly speaker called all the reporters into his office to explain this amendment. So it was an amendment on one of the bills that the Senate actually hasn't passed. So the Senate would have to come back in to take this up. And what it does is it applies state background checks or the state background check system to more gun sales in Wisconsin. So right now, if you buy a long gun, there's a federal background.
What's a long gun?
A long gun, like a rifle.
All right.
If you buy one of those, it's subject to federal background checks and it goes through the federal background check system, but it doesn't have to go through the state system. But the state system has access to more files.
And so the assembly passed this, right?
Mm-hmm. The assembly passed it.
And that was the end of the assembly session. But wait. I know we said that the Senate was done, okay? But this bill that just passed the assembly on background checks has not passed the Senate. Okay, so if they're done, mm-hmm. that background checks thing was just an exercise in futility.
So reporters asked Senator Fitzgerald if the Senate would be willing to come back in to take up this background check addition that assembly lawmakers made to the school safety package. And he said, maybe.
So actually, after we recorded the podcast, Fitzgerald went on to say this.
I don't see it. Yeah, I don't see that bill moving forward. No, I don't see it.
So sometimes at the end of legislative session, when one chamber, I'm just going to talk right through it. I'm going to power through. I just want to talk about a couple bills that may have ended because they didn't pass. All right. Mm-hmm. Can we just get to a couple, Song?
Yep.
All right. Thank you. I just think there's a couple big issues that we covered this year.
That it could be the end of the road for them.
If the Senate doesn't come back, it could be the end of the road for them. It could be the end of the... Thank you. I'm coming around on this song.
I think we're tiring out the universe. Oh my gosh, again, really? Who are these podcast people? I've got other places to be.
Okay, let's go through them kind of fast. The one that you remembered about...
Kimberly-Clark.
Yes.
So these are the Foxconn-style tax incentives for Kimberly-Clark, which has said that it's planning to cut about 600 jobs in Wisconsin. And so lawmakers had proposed giving them the payroll tax credits that they gave Foxconn to try to entice them to keep those jobs here in Wisconsin.
That passed the Assembly, went to the Senate.
Didn't get taken up by the Senate.
Yeah, Senator Fitzgerald said, we're not even sure if we pass this, whether it would make a difference in Kimberly-Clark's negotiations, their collective bargaining negotiations with the unions for those plants. So they didn't pass it. It looks like that's done.
Mm-hmm. What's another one that's
done? One that stuck out to me is there was a Senate bill. It was part of this, you know, like, I guess we would loosely call it kind of a tough on crime package that was sponsored by Leah Vukmir, State Senator Leah Vukmir, a Republican who's running for U.S. Senate. One of these bills would revoke somebody's parole or probation if they're arrested for another crime while they're under state supervision. That passed the Senate. They threw it to the Assembly. The Assembly added a couple of really big things to this bill. One was a lot of funding for assistant district attorneys, and two was a lot of borrowing for a prison in the near future. We don't know when, but
a new prison for
borrowing
Wisconsin.
Authority for a new prison somewhere at some
separate
time.
Separate from the whole Lincoln Hills thing.
Separate from the whole Lincoln. Yeah. $350 million in borrowing. The thought being the state is way over capacity right now in prisons. And so we're going to set aside this money for the future. So that bill with all of those elements suddenly became, you know, to borrow a term from the Senate Majority Leader, a big lift. And it did not get lifted out of the Senate.
Or out of the Assembly, rather. Back into the Senate.
No, yeah. The Senate passed it. The Assembly added the stuff. They passed it. But then the Senate didn't recognize the bill they once knew, I guess. Mm-hmm. We don't know what happened. It didn't come up on the calendar. And so it's done. And I'll mention also, since you mentioned it in kind of your rundown, the governor's rural economic incentives.
Oh, did the Senate not take those up?
Senate didn't take them up. $50 million.
$50 million.
Yeah,
for
passed the Assembly
development
unanimously, but the Senate, according to Senator Fitzgerald, is kind of looking at that ending balance for state government, and was maybe that $50 million price tag was a bit more than they had an appetite for. But
sure,
it wasn't on the agenda. Didn't pass. So that's really the.
Also, the rent-to-own legislation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, rent-to-own.
I almost forgot rent-to-own. I almost said the E word there.
Yeah, no, it's not the E word.
Yeah. Rent-to-own.
So rent-to-own stores are places that allow people to rent household items like TVs or couches or refrigerators or whatever if they can't buy them or finance them through a traditional retailer. And this would change the way the state regulates those companies. And it's been something that industry has been pushing for decades. And it made it through the Assembly, but wasn't taken up by the Senate.
Yeah. But that one never ends. It'll be back. next legislative session in some form or another.
Yeah.
This is great music for a rent-to-own bill failing in the legislature. It's so weird. There's lyrics to that song. Listen to that.
Oh, you want to hear?
You made it.
That was beautiful. So that's just a little summary of some of the bills that we've talked about off and on this year that have kind of met their end in the Wisconsin legislature, very likely.
So speaking of the end of things and things not being the end of things, this is future Sean, John, and Laurel back in the afternoon after recording the podcast this morning. Some things happened that are really tied to the things we were just talking about. What happened, guys?
So we were talking about how there was this prospect of future legislative sessions, and one was called today after we recorded the podcast.
It just happened.
We were recording the podcast in the morning, and we actually had in a, had a segment in the original podcast, which no one will ever hear,
mm-hmm.
where we talked about a ruling by a Dane County judge yesterday ordering Governor Scott Walker to call elections in two legislative districts.
Senate and Assembly District, right?
Assembly District 42, Senate District 1, which have been vacant since December. Walker has resisted calling on those elections, saying that he doesn't have to because the vacancies occurred last year. State law says if they occur before the second Tuesday in May in an election year, the governor shall call an election. And the judge was saying, look, you know, the governor's interpretation of the law leads to an absurd result. Of course, you have to call these elections, and I'm giving you till next Thursday to do it.
Right. Okay? And she used the word absurd.
She did. I mean, it was kind of in the, I believe it was pulled from the legal, you know, she used it because of the way that she was required to interpret this as a judge.
Mm-hmm.
And she found that, yes, it would be because what she was saying is somebody could leave office today and the governor would by law have to call a special election. But because these vacancies occurred in December, he's saying he doesn't have to call an election. And that is an absurd interpretation of the law.
And so that's the thing that we were going to talk about, but then what happened after that? Because yesterday's news was that the judge was going to force the governor to call special elections. Now, lawmakers are going to come back again to do what?
So lawmakers announced this afternoon that they are going to call an extraordinary session to bring the Senate and the Assembly back to basically rewrite Wisconsin's laws on special elections, because they don't agree with the judge's decision that the special elections need to be held, because they say it's going to create chaos if we have special elections now, so shortly before we have a regularly scheduled election. That's going to be so much voting, so much confusion, holding elections for the same seats one right after the next. So they're going to come back to Madison. We don't know exactly when yet.
But soon. All this happened very fast. The judge was so convinced that this law was crystal clear that she ruled from the bench on Thursday and said, you have to get this call out for a special election within a week, Governor. The next day, after we recorded our initial podcast, Laurel White ran back to the Capitol, and Scott Fitzgerald, Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald, had a press conference, said, I think we're going to have to do something about this by the afternoon. Both Fitzgerald and Voss had put out a statement saying, we are calling an extraordinary session to change special election laws. And moments later, Governor Scott Walker put out a statement saying he would sign that bill.
Mm-hmm.
So things are moving very fast here. And I think there's a tremendous amount of heat being applied to these two state legislative seats, really. And this is becoming a national story, too, because Eric Holder, former U.S. Attorney General, I've dropped my phone twice in this podcast.
He's just so excited.
Take it out in post, as John would say. It's nationalized the story in a way. And here we are, another extraordinary session.
Well, you guys are all extraordinary to me. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
And this is finally the end.
Maybe.
We might have to come back.
Again.
Never say it's the end.
If you're looking for something unpredictable, but that in the end is right, you can subscribe for new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast on iTunes. You can also find it on Google Play and many other podcast apps. And if you want to hear any of our old episodes, you can listen anytime you like at wpr.org/politics.
It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.